We're going through how to build a spiritual house. Now, I'm just going to throw something out for you. Have you noticed something about these things that we're supposed to add to our faith? Anybody give me the first one. Add to your faith. Virtue. Moral excellence. Okay, so that I don't know about you folks, but I have found that not to be too hard to be morally sound. Because if you think about the flip side is immorality. So do I want to be moral or immoral? That's a pretty easy choice as a believer. Actually, it should be an easy choice for any human being. But I see the results. Look at our country because of immorality. Look at what our country has become. We've been very divided, very despiteful, hateful. I'm talking about the entirety of the United States, and that we're actually looking at people in the eyes of politics. So it's called a deflection. So virtue. So what after virtue, add? Knowledge. Well, that's just a gathering of facts, isn't it? That's not to add knowledge to temperance, self-control. That's a little bit harder, isn't it? Self-control is a little bit hard. Let's just be honest, though. There's very few times where we have to make that decision. Because our lives are pretty scheduled out. Come on, amen? You get up, you go to work. So all you have to do is make the decision to get up, make the decision to go to work. Control yourself, amen? Okay, add temperance, then what? Okay, it's getting really tough. Am I right? In fact, the patience, if you think about it, patience is actually the one fruit that God desires from us that will give us in our entirety. Or we'll be mature then. Now, after we're mature, the last three come. Godliness, Godlikeness. Next one, the one we're talking about today. Brotherly kindness. Now, how many of you could say with the uplifted hands, there are times that Christian Joe or Christian Mary, I don't like them. Come on, it doesn't matter who it is. We don't have a Joe and Mary in here, so you can lift your hand. I have to remember the names. Someone said, how come you know their names? I write anybody up there all the time. You'll see me up there writing. What I'm doing is writing your names down so I can remember your names. Right, Fred? So, anyways, I did find out that is a great way to get someone to let them know you don't remember their name. When you see them, say, is it Fred, Barney, or Wilma? Most of the time they'll tell you the name. Okay, thank you. But you know what's really cool is when you're 60, over 60, you just blame it on old age. Amen. But anyways, brotherly kindness, we're going to work on something. And the last one's what? Come on. Charity. Not love. I hate it when these new Bibles change the word charity into love. Love is something humans could do. Have an affection for. I can love steak. I can love popcorn. I love that Missouri Tigers won last night. I don't know anybody knows that. I loved it. I was sitting there. I told Brett, I said, we'll go back and forth because I don't like sitting there watching it. I don't. We're watching clips. So I went to it, and they're losing by, they're tied up. And I says, what Missouri needs, because there's only 30 seconds left, Missouri needs is a strip sack running in for a touchdown. Two plays later, strip sack, runs in for the touchdown. I look at Brent and go, what do you know? One time I got it right. Now I said, God answers prayer. I said, God, they need your help. And sure enough, the goal comes out and psh, touchdown. That's loving something. That's not charity. Human beings have no idea what charity is. We have no idea that God, we're going to work on that one. But that one has to come from God. But we're supposed to add it to it. That means it's available. Okay, so brotherly love, continue, it says in Hebrews 13:1. We are commanded to love the brethren. All of us understand loving the brethren. Come on, amen? I mean, you can love someone without being kind to them. It's like I heard someone says, his wife says, how come you never said you love me? We've been married 10 years. He goes, when I got married, didn't I say I love you? Yeah. If it changes, I'll let you know. That's not very kind, isn't it? It's not very kind. So we need to have that in our lives. C.W. Vandenberg, I have no idea who he is, to be honest with you. I just like the quote. To love the whole world for me is no chore. My only real problem is my neighbor next door. If there is a tug of war, let the rope be the love of God. Fight for that. Amen? So I wrote down the word in Webster's, the brotherly means to have fraternal or affections, friends. It's kind of funny. I listen to sports commentaries or actors or some politician mention of the college he went to, and they're all excited that their college, you know, the fraternity of colleges. I hear Army vets that actually went into battle, not those that didn't go into battle, but those who went to battle and fought side by side. And that fraternal relationship, I remember we watched for the first time many years ago the movie called White Christmas when Danny Kaye saves Bing Crosby from getting hurt. And throughout the whole show he's going, I hurt my arm saving your life. For another soldier. Anyway, so the fraternity, that is a real thing. You hear someone, I still remember going up to Scotland and Wales. We were visiting in Scotland, it was at Edinburgh Castle. The only working castle in England right now, or in Scotland, is Edinburgh. So we went up that mile walk. Anybody else been there? Have you been there? The mile road that leads up to it. Anyway, so we get up there, it's overlooking the water, and they have these cannons that are about this big around. They only go, I think it's 20 miles, I think at the most. I don't think it's that far, but the balls on them were like that big. I'm like, my land. Can you imagine something like that hitting your ship? Anyway, so we're up there looking around, and everybody's speaking in Scottish. Anybody ever heard a Scottish person speak? It ain't English. I mean, you could call it something, but it ain't English. And there's every once in a while you catch an English word in it, and they'll even say we're speaking English. No, you're not. I've been with the English. I've been with the Welsh. I've been with Americans. That's not English. It is something else. So we're walking around. Brennan and I's kind of lost because we don't have anybody to talk to. All of a sudden, out of our ears, I hear, man, ain't nothing like Missouri, is it? Man, my ears popped up, and I ran over. There's a couple from Missouri there. And I didn't care if he was a Harris or Biden person. I don't care. He's from Missouri. That fraternity is there. We all have friends and people. Could be from a college or family even. When we meet family, I still remember I get a phone call from my brother's daughter. Now, I haven't seen my brother physically in over 20 years. And it just... we never were able to connect. I'd go to Missouri. He'd never show up. I'd tell him where I'm at. He's moving all the time, so I had no idea where he was living. And so, anyway, I finally saw him at my dad's funeral. But I got a call from a girl, and her last name was Savage. She goes, I'm your niece. Cool. okay, who are you? And that 20 years ago, she was this big. But she said she remembered me. And she didn't want anything. I mean, she just wanted, you're my family. Amen. That brotherly, that kindly. Amen. Kindness. Gentleness. That's a tough one. Yoga is different than bodybuilding. Yeah. Bodybuilding is reps. And a lot of reps. It's not a little bit of reps. It's a lot of reps. A lot of people don't know this. Bodybuilding is really one of the worst way to lift weights. But a lot of them, now some, it's been changed over the years, like Schwarzenegger and the Hulk and people like that. The problem is you got to keep doing it 5, 6, 7 hours a day or you'll lose it. Because here's what happens. You got muscles. Let's say this is a muscle. You want to build that muscle, make it bigger. You do not add a muscle. I mean, you don't make that muscle bigger. You actually add a muscle. You're actually tearing it. You tear it, and it forms a new one right on top of it. If you rep, like a lot of bodybuilders, you get air between it. There's actually fluids with air. It's oxygen fluid. Fluid oxygen between them. And, oh, they look good, man. Yeah, I know. You tell, right? But anyway, it looks great. But if they stop, that fluid in between the muscle layers goes down, and you see these guys, they're really saggy, You see these girls when they get older, they're really saggy. They look really yuck. Why is that? They did it wrong. Okay, you're supposed to put time between the reps. It's supposed to be 1, 2, 9. You see them. Some of you see them. You go up there, they're doing this, and they're getting, and they'll go right to the next thing. You're supposed to put 3 minutes between sessions. Yoga's a little different. Am I right? Slow and, would you say gentle? Holding. You hold it. It's slower. It's more gentle, more less obstructive to your body. Am I right? And so that's the difference between loving someone with gentleness and being rough with them. Come on, amen. We got to learn gentleness. Tenderness. That's another thing. Being tender to people. To me, I see tenderness as almost as an empath. Empathetic. Is that how you say it? Empathetic. 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 Being empathetic. In other words, being tender, understanding the needs and the desires. And we just sung that song, Throw Out a Lifeline. I don't even know, notice singing the song, sometimes we don't hear the words, but someone's about to fall. I don't know. I don't even need to know the person. If I see traffic heavy and someone's starting to walk across the traffic, I'm going, whoa! They could have a Harris Waltz hat on and I'll still say, whoa. Amen? Because I want to see him cry when Trump wins. I got to see it. Amen. We got to be careful. Tenderness, goodness of heart. That should be goodness. That actually is a good word, but that's goodness. It's supposed to be O-O. That looks cool as two D's. Goodness of heart. Humane. We're so humane. Don't you? I don't know about you. I get tired when I see a show. And I remember watching Return of Snowy River, and the guy's going down with that horse down that mountain, and he gets shot, and it tumbles, and the horse dies. And at the end of the movie, I wanted to check. It said no animal was harmed. 3 men and 2 ladies got killed, but no animal was harmed by the Humane Society. I don't know if you know what humane means. Kindness to humans. We're so humane to animals, and we're... Come on, let's be honest. You hear about a penguin or a little... Squirrel. There you go. Squirrel getting killed. Everybody's up in arms, man. We're going to have a national revolution because a squirrel got killed. And a raccoon, wasn't it? That's crazy. And all the world knows about Peanut. But how about the people, the same group that killed that... that went after that is the same one that kills babies. And you know that's the first thing they said when they lost? Now the woman's right to have control of her body is taken away. First thing they said. That's not humane. In other words, we ought to be more concerned about human than personal things. Sometimes people sit in our pews. Sometimes people take our pens. Somebody will use our hymnal. We lose something, we get all upset. How about if we lose a fellow member of the church? See, in other words, that's what brotherly kindness is being humane about it. Lastly, love for the brethren in the biblical sense, in the Bible sense, means fraternal affection. Not just fraternal, but fraternal affection. Actually showing it. Love of the brethren as well as dear to. You're dear to people. Love. We should love as you would that men should do to you. The Bible says that in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 36. I don't know about you. Anybody ever heard of this? They're going to get their comeuppance. Okay, do you know where that came from? Same thing. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. It's going to come around. What goes around? Comes around. You want to love, you got to love. You want to give, you got to give. I had a preacher friend of mine that was a little upset because this is when I was going to the fellowships all the time and right before the turn of the century, and I made some changes in the church as well as my heart and mind. But anyways, I was going to fellowships and they'd ask for testimonies. And every once in a while, one of them would say, come on, Pastor Travis, you had a testimony. And this is when we were building this church and just seeing God working miracle after miracle after miracle. We moved in 2002, but before we moved in, God was just doing some things. So I'd stand up and say, well, this is what happened. They go, oh, that's great. Well, One time, Brother Stiff, who's coming to our meeting, he was the church, chairman, so he was the one giving the Avon people stand up. And he said, Brother Savage, I don't want to hear from you. I'm tired of hearing God bless you. Why don't he bless me? And after the service, I said, well, do you give? If you give, you get. And I don't know. I don't know him. I didn't know what his personal life was, but I have never seen God with a smaller shovel than I do. His shovel is usually pretty big. Amen. And if I get a bigger shovel, he just brings out that big cat, you know. DC-9, I think they call him. Anyway, so, all right. We ought to love as unto the Lord. Matthew 25, 33 through 46. This is just introduction. You can put this on the side if you want to. Love as you would that men should do to you. We ought to love as unto the Lord. I always do this. You know, the Bible talks about children obeying their parents in the Lord. And it talks about wives submitting to their husbands as unto the Lord. Christ is our head. I don't know, ladies. Sometimes ladies forget this. Guys have a boss. And he's a little bit wiser than your boss, ladies. Your boss, your husband, is not as wise as God. God's going to find out easy. And God knows all. Husbands don't know all. They don't know you voted for Harris. Anyways, I just figured to stay with the times. Amen. All right. Not only that, we should love as Christ loved you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 and 11. We should love him as Christ loved us. Christ loved us, gave himself for us. We ought to love as well. Amen. All right, let's look right into our text. Go to Acts chapter. We're going to come back to 1 Thessalonians, but later on, the second point. So you might keep a marker there in 1 Thessalonians. So we will come to that back. But let's go to the book of Acts and see a couple things to get started off this morning, and that is some biblical example of Barnabas. Barnabas was the son of consolation. I would say Barnabas had some gentleness to him, amen? Paul was a little bit more harsh. In fact, the Bible says, Paul says, I'm small, weak, and contemptible. You think, he's the one that said, whether they preach in love or contention, at least they're preaching Christ. It's Paul, because Paul was the contention part. The love part was probably Barnabas. I've been to churches where preachers just mutilate their people. I mean, just rip them up. And I'm sitting there, man, I'm right with God, and I'm a visiting pastor, and I feel like he's beating on me. There's a difference between being convicted and beat up. Amen? And so we don't need that, but at least the gospel's being preached is what Paul said. But if you would, verse 26 of the book of Acts, chapter 9, the Bible says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Anybody remember where he's at? Where is Saul at this time? He was in Damascus. So why would Damascus Christians be afraid of Saul of Tarsus?
Because he was sent there to capture
them. He was sent there to get them. Okay, let's just be honest. If you knew of the one person from the government that was sent to get kill Christians or to get Christians and put them in prison, they walked in the door. Come on, amen. So the first one here is to Saul. Let's keep reading. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So Barnabas showed some brotherly kindness here, didn't he? Now, I don't know about you, but Barnabas was also one that could have been thrown in jail. But he heard Saul's testimony that Saul said he saw Jesus on the way and he got saved. And then he heard him preach the gospel. He goes, come on, guys. So Barnabas was willing with his brotherly kindness to, if you want to say it, come on, you're going to shoot at him, you got to shoot at me. He backed him up. Man, we need more Christians like that. How many of you could sit there and say, in this year, one time this year, you did something wrong? Okay? Wouldn't it be nice if you had a brother or sister in Christ that knew you did that wrong, keep their stinking mouth shut? Leave it to you to say whether to someone else whether you did something wrong. Someone just said, hey, I don't understand. I make mistakes too. Hang in there. Fight it. Come on, amen. You don't blab it. You just stand with them. If you would, please, chapter 11, verse 19. Chapter 11, verse 19. We're talking about Barnabas, who showed loving kindness, the son of consolation. It says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. This is an interesting event. So what had happened is Saul of Tarsus came in chapter 8 and scattered all the people. All people fled because he was putting them in prison. Some of them were getting killed because they were Christians, tortured, and Saul was doing it. So they scattered all the way to Antioch. Okay? Now, in the meantime, in chapter 9, Saul gets saved, gets baptized, and starts preaching the Bible. And Barnabas is the one that backed him up. So here we go. Keep reading. And some of them, so the church heard about this. Some of the men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Would you say they got saved? And then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. How many people are in the Jerusalem church at this time, approximately? We don't know. All I know is the Bible says all of the church fled except for the apostles. So the 12 stayed, and the new 12 with Matthias, and the 12 stayed, and their families. We don't know how many others were there at this time. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, that's an interesting thing. Why do you think they sent Barnabas instead of James or Peter or Philip? Anybody think why? Could it be maybe they knew what kind of man Barnabas was? And if Barnabas had to go because these were Grecians, Greeks, these were not Jews, and he knew Barnabas had a little tact. Come on, amen? Okay, I knew we had a guy in our church named Harvey years ago. I'd never sinned to witness to a Mormon. He was brutal with them. He didn't have any tact. I'd send him to visit a Catholic because he used to be Catholic. Yeah, you got a testimony, go for it. But I learned years ago, don't send him to a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, he'd just chew on them. That's not the way to, you don't attack someone's faith. You build on their faith. Amen? Now, I'm not saying their faith is towards God, but they have faith in something. That he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was what? Glad. And exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the isn't that interesting? That's the next one. With the church and taught much people, and disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So they got saved. Now, this is authority passed on. They got saved. Jerusalem heard about it, sent a representative to see this group of people that got saved. They were having Bible studies. Then they went and got some help, and for a year they taught, and all of a sudden that group of disciples became a church. That's how it's supposed to be. Churches build churches. And I'm sure during this conference someone's going to shoot on this. When I remember talking to my daughter-in-law, Rebecca, about being baptized, and I gave her this passage of Scripture. She goes, man, I see it clearly. It's right there. And you can see that all the way through Scriptures. When you find a group of people that are getting saved, God sends someone from the church to them. But it's kind of interesting how Barnabas had showed brotherly kindness to this group of Grecians out there in the middle of nowhere. Acts chapter 15. Why did I say John? We're talking about John. Acts chapter 15. Acts 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul and, now this is Saul that became Paul, said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And then you find out Silas was chosen and Paul took Silas. So to John Mark. John Mark was his cousin, I mean his nephew. John Mark, if you remember right, was the young man in Acts chapter 12 that in his mom's house, John Mark and his mom had a prayer meeting. They had a church in the house to get Peter out of jail. That was at the Mark, John Mark's house. So John Mark was a young man that was had a robe cast. He heard Jesus was in jail, so he threw a robe on and took off, and they grabbed a hold of him, and he escaped naked. Same John Mark. So John Mark understood these things and wanted to get involved. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible says that the church was told, the church of Antioch was told, to go into the world and preach the gospel. And the church was told by the Holy Spirit to send Saul and Barnabas. And they took John as a minister to help them out, carry the luggage, to print out some, well, they didn't have printing machines, but to help maybe copy things. John Mark was there. After a few months or days, weeks, we don't know, John Mark quit. How many of you like quitters? How many of you, let's be honest, have quit on the Lord every once in a while? Aren't you glad for brothers and sisters in Christ that welcome you back? Put your arms around them and around you and say, what do you want to do? Amen? I have a saying that I use all the time because people say, how come you're so patient with me? You're still alive. I'll lose my patience when you die. You're alive. If you're alive, you could be used to God. Amen? You're dead, you're done. The Bible talks about that with a lion and a dog, a living dog and a dead lion. Amen? Go back, okay. So anybody get that? Paul, church, John, Mark. So Barnabas gave us a beautiful example of loving, brotherly kindness. And we need to try to work. If we just worked on those three things, we'd be doing okay. Come on, amen? I mean, you think about it. Work on someone that is unsaved and mean, that needs Christ. Have some kindness, amen? When they come to Christ, give them at least the understanding that God can change someone's life. God can take someone and make them a new creature. And Barnabas stood behind him. To a church of people, to go into a church building and you look around and there's a lot of weird people here. I tell you one thing, it was a cultural shock for me coming up here. Cultural shock. You northerners are weird. But you know I've been up here in the north more than I've been in the south, so I guess I'm weird too. But I tell you, it was weird. I remember opening a door for a lady at Kmart and she cussed me out for opening the door for her. I said, sorry, ma'am. And she goes, don't you dare call me a ma'am. I said, you're either a ma'am or a sir. I'm sorry, you don't look like a sir. And back then, they knew the difference. And she just got ruffled and went in anyway. And I just, okay, go for it. And then I shut the door a little hard. Hopefully, it was hitting her rear end, but it missed. I don't know how I missed. But a little different. You folks are a little different. Back in Missouri, you knock on someone's door, and if they can, they will actually invite you in, ask you if you want something to drink. I made some cookies. Would you like something? And sit down and listen. They may not come to your church, but they'll sit and listen to you. I got greeted so meanly on the first 80 visits I made. I actually had a guy with a shotgun cocked open. He had it in his arm, over his arm. And he goes, Baptist or California? I said, which one will get me shot? He said, California. He goes, I'm Baptist. He goes, okay, I'll listen to you. I'm glad I wasn't a Baptist from California. I might be in trouble. I might not be here by then. But I got chewed out. I had a lady right off First Street, and she cussed me out. She was really happy when I introduced myself, but then when I asked her if she was saved, she cussed me out. What gives you the right to ask me a question? I said, Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. She was acting like a creature. And she slammed the door on me. Anyway, the little difference. So you got to do that. And John Mark, when you find quitters, realize something. The Bible says you could quit too. We've all, be careful, because you may fall in the same pit. Lest you fall. The Bible says that. Take heed lest you fall. Now let's look at the next one, the procedure. How do I do this? How do I do this? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. First, it says wherefore, here it is, comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. And it's going to give you the next one. And edify one another, even as also ye do. I've been asked this all my life. How come you wake up happy? Well, I'll tell you this. I wake up, first thing I do is I say, Lord, lead me, guide me. I get in the Word of God. I pray, I get in the Word of God. I always ask God to teach me before I read. Then I read, then I pray for the things that I have. But I always ask God before I start, teach me. I can't remember a day I didn't get up and do that since I've been saved. So we need, that's 50-something years every day. And I love my routine. Gary and I talk about that at the time. I love that routine. It keeps me going. But the second thing I do is say, Lord, help me please you and be a blessing to someone. Now, if you're going through life like that, that sure makes it easier to have brotherly kindness. Instead of looking for all the gusto you could get out of life. I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, you're running in front of people to get the last package of bacon. You're knocking over old ladies because milk is on sale, Brenda. She goes, I need milk. That's how she goes, I need milk. Okay, I'm going after the bacon. She's going after the milk. She told me the other day, we need no more bacon. Can't have enough bacon. Anyway, so it's just hilarious how people are. But comfort. Your words, you should be a comfort to people, not an irritation. All of us have people that we know that are irritating. Come on, amen? Edify. What does the word edify mean? Okay. That is right, but it's even better than that. Nope. Oh, that's close. It's to lift and hold up. Amen? It's not just to build up, which is good. We should look to build people, but it means to hold. Wow, that's interesting. So, in other words, and it's a habit of mine, and maybe it's a habit more than a desire, or maybe it started as a desire, but now it's a habit. I try to stand back there. That's why I kind of kick the guys. They all want to congregate. Get out of the way, because I got to do my job. Because I feel my job is when you walk in to make you feel better. If I have to tease you, if I have to give you a handshake, I'm not kissing any of you. I don't care about what Dave Talley says. I ain't kissing one of you. I ain't spreading the germs. I mean, spread the love. Anyways, a different kind of kissing back then. They actually didn't kiss. They went to the cheek whip. That's a holy kiss. You ain't getting me. Anyway, so I try to make you feel good when you walk in. I try to notice all the children. I don't care who comes in, even visitors, when they come in, I let the children know that they are important just as much as the parents. But to edify, we ought to be building up people. That'd be our task. That's what it is. Comfort, edify. Not only that, if you would please, look at verse 9 of chapter 4. Verse 9, the Bible says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write to you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Now, there's one thing I got to give these ecumenical movements. They do teach about love. Let us fundamental Baptists don't throw that one away just because it's overused. We ought to love one another. In fact, the Lord gave us two commandments, didn't he? I had someone say, we're supposed to keep the Ten Commandments, or we're supposed to keep the two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy mind. And the heart also, it says it. And the second is just, that's the greatest commandment. The second is just the same as love your neighbor as yourself. Now, my neighbor is one thing. How about my brother in Christ? It ought to be more. My brother and sister in Christ, I'd have more love for than my neighbor. Because it says, do good unto all, especially the brethren. Brothers and sisters in Christ. So we ought to love one another. Look at verse 13 of chapter 5. We're going to close with this point. We may not get it all, but let's look at verse 13. So love one another. We're on the second page. Okay, here we go. Ready? The Bible says this. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So it gives you the first two here. First one is esteem them. What does that mean? Okay, hold them in high regard. That's good. Okay? In other words, if the building was burning and you're there with your brother and sister Christ, you do not go for your cell phone first. You don't go for your laptop. You look and see if your brother or sister Christ is coming with you. Amen? When there's 25 cookies and 25 of you, you do not grab two. Right, Kenny?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. I was just making sure. I was trying to remind him, you know. We had a kid in our church that had a wide span like this. He could get one dozen cookies out of an oil package with that. It was a lot longer than mine. And he used to go like that, pull up, put it in his lap, and walk off. I said, hold on a second. We got one box and 30 people. What are you doing? I'm hungry. You have homes to eat. This is called fellowship. Amen? And so I'm convicting all of you on this food thing, ain't I? it's just be a blessing. Amen? Esteem peace with each other. We ought to be peacemakers. Look for ways. I think that's a reason why Trump does so good, is he looks for peace, not finance. And these other ones just wanted finance. And I hope he does better. We're going to start right there. So you should be able to go down through the list and figure out the rest of them. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us in this study to build a spiritual house in our lives. May we become more Christ-like each and every day. And for we pray in his name, amen.